I'm all for that. I get that. There is some greatness there. But then, but there's two sides of this argument. They're only here because we want them for their talents. We don't really care about their education. Well, can they help our football team? And then there's the other side that say the kids are manipulating the system because they just want to get to the NFL. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, probably on both sides, there's a lot of truth in that.
There is a lot of truth in both of them. And my answer to that usually is any student that is admitted to Oklahoma State University, they have gone through a process in which I'm not included, or my office, we're not included in that. And I will take any student and work as hard as I can, and our whole staff, including, when I say I'm speaking of our staff, to get them to graduation, or at least to have a phenomenal experience here where they get a better education. I do believe that there are students, both general student population and student athletes, that are not ready for the academic rigor at this level. There are universities that probably agree with me. I can't speak for them.
Mm-hmm.
But the process as it used to be, because of entrance standards for athletics or athletes, we've lowered the standards. So we've allowed them to come in. So once they're here, it's my obligation as the director of the academic unit, and it's the obligation of the coaches and everybody concerned to try and do the best job we can. Now, will some of the lower level students that come in be able to major in engineering? Absolutely not. And it has led a lot to what at the national level they refer to as clustering of majors. You'll have kids that come in and they want to be an architect. I use this as an example because it's one regularly that kids want to come in, they want to be architects, but they don't really know what architects do.
Mm-hmm.
Architects spend, you talk about somebody that has a dedication, time commitment. They have not only a full-time job being an architectural major, but they have another full-time being an architectural major. That's a tough major. It's a time-consuming major. So if you couple that with athletics, no, it's not going to work. But we have majors on campus that they can have football. They can, if they'll work with us, I'm telling you 100% of our students that we have can graduate if they put forth the effort. It's they have to buy into the system and do what we suggest or we lead them to. Now, if some young man comes in and says, I'm just playing football, then they're not going to be here very long anyway. They're not going to be eligible. We don't have that issue because we have coaches that support us. Coach Gundy and I have, well, he was my advisee many years ago, so needless to say, I've known him a long time. He's attempted and is doing a very good job at bringing in students. He's tried to raise the caliber of student that he brings in academically. And still, of course, has to consider athletics. I mean,
sure.
If you're going for a national championship, you have to bring in the athletes. So, you know, there's a little bit of truth, I think, in everything all of us say about this. But we work in a system that might be a bit tainted at this time, and it's big money. It's big to the university. It's big nationally, internationally. I mean, sports it dominates the world anymore.
Well, I mean, think about it. And you're right, because obviously the big business, and everybody gets so upset because football brings in so much money. But the football money comes in and helps women's basketball. Yeah. It helps men's basketball in certain cases. It helps create an academic center and helps with the – because you guys are working with student athletes. I have a couple of things that really just jump off this page for me. One is this. Quit whining. If you want to have any kind of, and he's an economic major. Apparently there was a class he wasn't allowed to take to complete his degree or really help him in his degree because the timing did not fit football and that irritated him. Now that I completely get. But how many guys have come through our program, and I'm sure at USC and all these other programs they have good academic assistance because of the eligibility requirements they have to have. And I know I see more, obviously, firsthand, Agatha Adams. We're having study hall on the road. And, again, this is what your office does. This is just one sport. You're providing these kids, a normal student doesn't have all of this opportunity. In my opinion, Mr. Rosen, zip your lips and go to class and quit crying because millions have come before you and have done it.
I agree, Casey. I don't like to hear. The first thing I didn't like about it was that a football player couldn't do it because the other sports are equally committed and,
sure.
and spend. Actually, well, some of them spend more hours.
That's what I was going to say. I want to comment on that particular point. I played collegiate baseball. we were gone 3 days a week. I mean, we were only on campus in the school I played at. We were only on campus like 2 days a week. Now, if you're a baseball player and you're playing 30 games, a football player is maybe playing 12 or 13, and he's on campus except for the weekend when he goes and plays the game. If you're in baseball, if you're in golf, you're never on campus. Those guys are gone all the time. So it was much harder for me as a baseball player because we didn't have the tutors like you did. We didn't have the Missigas, the people that traveled with us. We had to do our own homework. And I don't know about baseball here, but I would think it's much harder. I agree with you. I'm tired of a football player whining because he's got a lot better chance of making it than some of the other sports, which are on the road all the time.
Yeah, and actually, I'm with you, Casey. I don't like the whining because they don't travel like these other ones. They aren't gone Monday, Wednesday, Friday,
right,
and have to come back and pick up on the coursework from that week. But the complication with football, and I just don't see any solution to it with regard to what he's talking about with the major. There are, in fact, I work on a committee out of faculty council that we're trying to figure out how we can increase the number of majors that we can have. Because you can't expect a head coach who has 140 kids out there for a team to just allow anybody whenever they want to be missing from school. I mean, from the practice. You can't
do
it. I mean, it's just unrealistic. The flip side of that is you can't expect faculty to plan everything around football or basketball or whatever. So there is a bit of a disjoint there. And I would agree with Mr. Rosen about that. There is a disjoint between academics and athletics in that their time constraints, which does limit the amount of majors that kids can come. If you want to come in and be a particular major and most of the classes are offered in the middle of the afternoon and you're a football player, you can't do it. It's as simple as that. And you know that when you accept the scholarship that pays for your education. We work as best we can. An example, I won't give a name, but we have an engineering student that's a football player right now that will graduate this year. And Coach Gundy has been very good about allowing him to take, we have arranged his schedule such that we try to eliminate as many conflicts as we can in the afternoon. But if he has to have the class, he's able to leave to go to the class. Now, that's not an arbitrary decision on the student's part, nor on mine, just because I think, well, this is a good teacher and I think he should have him. That, we don't do that. This means that he can't graduate unless he takes this course at that time, so he is going to be late to practice. And Coach Gundy, I can miss.
Sure.
Still, he is very good about working with us. And Mike is very involved with us with academics. He's done a phenomenal job with us on that. It's a complicated situation. It's a complicated problem. I don't like major clustering where a lot of kids are in one major, but sometimes that's the only way we can do it. The online classes have helped tremendously because we can do a lot of work with them online that we couldn't, years past, couldn't have done it. College of Business is one example. You can literally go, and they advertise it, but you can actually have a major, an undergraduate degree and a master's degree in the College of Business all online. So our students take advantage of that on a daily basis, which really helps us. And then we hire people to come in who can teach them so that they don't get lost in an online course.
You got like 5 minutes, and I've got 25 questions. So we're never going to get to all this. But I want to hit a couple of quick hitters. And if you would, I mean, just and yes and no is not the way to answer. So I want you to answer. But I want to hit these real quickly. Fifth-year senior transfer rule. You like that?
No.
I'll tell you, I do. And can I tell you why? Because I think it's nice to reward a kid who actually gets in there and gets his act. Now, you may tell me why, and I may totally disagree with myself.
We need to talk about that on a different day because there are a lot of complications with that.
Okay, and that may be, really, but I love the fact that kids get rewarded for getting their academic because it was important to them. I love the reward part of that. And so, but no, okay, and I'll trust you on that.
Yeah, I, and the bulk of us in academics aren't.
Okay.
Because, and this is only one thing, and we really could talk a whole topic.
No, I hope you come back.
the NCAA is reviewing it now, because now, as always, something that started out to be a good thing.
Yes, now it gets manipulated, there's no doubt.
Ends up being something that is now not working.
Yeah.
Now
that's the
reasons.
Problem. It gets abused. There is no doubt about that. Yeah. I do want to bring you back and talk about that. I've heard, and I won't say who, although he might be on the show before me, he says that we probably, what we need to do with Title IX is we need to take football out and then balance the books with men's, women's scholarships the rest of the way.
I don't deal with scholarships. I don't deal with the money. I don't deal with any of that.
But you do deal with a lot of men and women who have a lot of opportunity. And I know football provides money for all of these academic institutions. But isn't that the whole point of Title IX is to keep it fair? You got 100 male athletes on the campus. You need to have 100 females.
I think you need to have
opportunity.
I'm old enough that I was there when Title IX. I was one of them. I was coaching, actually, at the time and was full-time faculty. And I was able to be instrumental in a lot of what was happening in Title IX, not at the governmental level, but
sure,
the local level in athletics.
Well, and Ann Pitts obviously revolutionized it right here in this university.
You know, those of us that were very vocal and got involved in it, and I was an athlete, and I didn't feel like I did have equal opportunity like the boys did. For those of us that were in that era, I fight tooth and toenail right now today for women's rights. However, I don't want to do it at the expense of the men. I think there are balances that we must do, that where if every female is given the same opportunity as a male, then I'm all for it. I am not for cutting the men's sports to support what we need, if that makes sense. I'm a little on both sides.
But you know what happens there? It's exactly what we said with the fifth-year transfer. What you just said is a really good thing. But then you get the school who goes, well, okay, we don't have men's baseball anymore, and I want to bring it, but we can't. So they start manipulating the situation and go, well, okay, the only way we can make the – you just see people abusing it, and that's why the rule's the rule.
I agree, and I'm all about – believe me, I'm all about giving women every opportunity, and we've had to work hard to get there.
Sure.
But I think we need to be fair in what we're doing because we have – again, I can go back 50 years and – I can tell you it wasn't nice working in athletics at that time because women were not accepted for anything except keeping house and raising children. I mean, it just wasn't. They didn't look at athletes, women as athletes, period. Mm-hmm. We've come a long way in those 40 or 50 years. We're not there yet, but we've come a long way. But it's not just women's sports now. It's the Olympic sports. It's mm-hmm. just everything other than football. Let's
sure.
put it that way. It's not so much, I don't believe, and I'm certainly only one opinion, it's not so much about women versus men. It's football and everybody else.
That's for sure. Yeah.
So I think we've come a long way, and we're really in pretty good shape with our women, at least at OSU. But we're going to have to look at something with football and every other sport. And I think the NCAA needs to do it as well.
My wife is a dentist, and what most people don't realize is that Title IX was not – just intentionally directed towards athletics.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a small, if you read Title IX, it's just a small portion of the actual amendment that is that was much, much bigger than athletics. Okay. And I hope
that's another day. We can talk
about
that.
I know. I love it. There's two great topics. And I hope you agree with me on this, because it's important that we agree on this, because I respect your opinion and I want you to agree with me, but I'm not going to tell you what my opinion is. Should players be paid?
Well, my initial response is they're already being paid.
Love it. Thank you. So no more. Look, here's the thing. And I'm going to throw this out there. There are so many of us who would have done anything to go play college athletics. Not good enough to do it, but to think that, okay, well, if this guy doesn't want to because he doesn't think he's getting paid enough, then you go on and march yourself to the NFL. Good luck to you. These guys are getting education. They're getting gear. They're getting travel. They're getting food. Going back to Rosen's comments, quit whining. There are people out there who have 30 and 40-hour jobs to pay for their schooling. Now, I'm not saying football's not hard, and the weightlifting and the time and all that you put in, but many people are having to do that in the workforce to pay for their way. So it happens. So to me, if this isn't for you, if this you think this is your only path to the NFL, hold out and go somewhere else. Don't go to school.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring up this topic because my and this is, again, my opinion. It's not the university. It's not athletics. I'm not representing anybody but me.
Sure.
Football, men's and women's basketballs are full ride. So they're getting all those things you're talking about.
Sure.
But if you go to baseball, mm-hmm. you go to softball, you go to tennis, you go to all the other ones, They're not. So, and they're putting in the same amount of work.
Sure.
That football, men's and women's basketball does. Even in golf, where Alan or Coach Bratton has to separate out the scholarships, these kids are working for, if you want to put it this way, less than what football and men's and women's basketball
are. No doubt.
So if we were to actually make the playing field fair, we would say, like, 85 scholarships for football, let's give the exact same amount over here. Let's take care of the Olympic sports. They're all being paid. If you take what it costs to go to school now, and you have room and board provided, and you have your education provided, they are being paid. Now.
And the stipends?
Put a number on that, if you would.
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't have any idea.
You wouldn't have any idea what a four-year.
If you have an out-of-state student right now, let's see, an in-state is, whether they put it about $20,000 that it costs approximately, that's for room, board, and so on. So if they stay 5 years, I mean, that's $100,000 right there.
Yeah, and that doesn't include gear.
That doesn't include anything else.
That's right.
But the ones that I feel badly for are the ones that are getting, let's say, a book scholarship. That's all they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting in the same number of hours that these other people who are getting full rides. Now, that comes at the NCAA level. That's not something that a university can fix. But that's where a lot of this is coming from. Additionally, where I somewhat agree with the gentleman about this, Mr. Rosen, is that being paid, or I guess it wasn't him, this was you.
Talked about the fact that they ought to get paid, too.
I do think, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I do think we abuse, when you're using a player to make millions and millions, and the NCAA is making money off of them, and the Big 12 conference or whatever the conference is are making a lot of money off of them. I don't have a solution, and I always tell people, don't come to me with a problem unless you have a solution.
Yeah.
And I don't have a solution to this, but I do think there's something that needs to be adjusted somehow, if that it comes back to the players, not player, but players. You know, if you have some, like, he's going to be a number one draft, you said. If he has the opportunity to sell something or work with something or do something, I don't have a solution, but I just think there's something innately not right about not being able to be an entrepreneur. I mean, we teach entrepreneurship. It's a huge major at our campus, and yet we're stifling the creativity and we're stifling what they can do with their profession, which is what it's going to be. I'm not involved in all that, and I don't like to make many statements about it, but I do think there have to be some concessions at some point, and not so many regulations about what student athletes can do and can benefit from. I mean, even if it's out playing in tournaments and so on, there are just so many rules that won't let them do anything. So I do think there could be some lightening of that.
Part of that solution might be taking all those millions of dollars that are being grossed and giving full scholarships to those academic or other Olympic sports you mentioned. And the other thing is, here's my other problem. He quoted a 5-year, $250 million deal USC now has with Under Armour. Well, guess what? Much of that will go back into facilities to get your whiny backside to come to USC to begin with. I mean, it is a broke system. And some of what he says does have some merit to it. But that's the part you go, look, coaches are making too much money. Flat out, they are. They simply are. But the universities are also reinvesting millions and millions and millions of dollars back in these institutions to get people to come there, and it's a crazy deal.
It's a circle, you know. It's as I said, if I had an answer, boy, I could make some of those. I could make some of those millions if I had the answers to solve all these problems. And I think people are opinionated often, and they don't know the full impact of just a minor decision, something that can happen, how it ripples out. I was once told when I first took this job that I was complaining about the whining I was about the about the rule book. I said, no, it's bigger than the Bible. We shouldn't have this many rules.
Yeah.
And I was told by a wise man who was in the NCAA at the time, he said, Marilyn, for every rule there is in there, it's because you've had coaches and staff and people who've broken the other one.
Sure.
And I believe that.
Yeah.
So anything that's good, like we're talking about the five-year transfer, the graduate, that started out to be something really beneficial for a student and was good. But then if you look at all the ripple down from that, it hasn't become such.
Didn't even get a chance to talk about the kid who's here to play, go to the NFL, but doesn't get to the NFL, but ends up spending, let's just say, 2 years on a campus. The benefits for some of these young people. So that's a whole other deal. We're out of time, but I do appreciate it and hope you'll come back.
Speaking of which, I have to go to a meeting where I can learn how to get these kids on time to places and get the schedules so that we
don't be late to that meeting.
Well, you know, it's interesting because now the coach, we have a system now that we're learning how to do it, where one of our complaints is we schedule something and then one of the coaches wants to have a film session at that time, et cetera, et cetera. So we're really, it's a coordination of all the time. Rob Glass in football, if we take football, it's Rob Glass with weight training, John Stem with medical training, or medical taking care of them, us for academics, classes, football practice. When you have to put all that, you talk about an organization of running all these kids and all these people to try and have everybody on the same page. That's what this meeting's about. So I'm going to go see if it works.
Fantastic.
Well, we appreciate you coming by, and we will get you on.
Yeah, we'll get you back.
Well, you know, Kent said, can you talk for 20 minutes? I said, how long have you known me?
Hey, she's got a little Gary Ward in her.
Yeah.
Just throw out one question, and she'll 45 minutes later, we'll see you back here at the same spot.
You absolutely.
Marilyn,
thanks for inviting me.
Appreciate it.